I love this text. It rings in my soul. It doesn't allow for anything better or stronger or further. No one is beyond Jesus of Nazareth. This text says it all. It is simple, sublime, satisfactory. No lesser enemy could redeem this globe. Sin, death, judgment are realities. They are more than a bad dream. They are more than a passing sickness. They are rude and demanding. They will not yield to Congress or Parliament, to banker or physician, to the preacher or the lawyer. But they do yield to Jesus Christ. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. You aren't dealing with a mortal. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. You aren't dealing with creed or committee, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. But this he did once, when he offered up himself. This, sir, affords me positive, permanent salvation. Christ's record makes the best defense lawyers in the land envious. He has never failed a client, never lost a case. He has won for the sinner grace, for the tormented peace, and for the diseased health. Jesus will win a verdict for you. He alone stands between you and the consequences of your sin. And if you go to court with another, you will lose and pay the penalty. First, he is able to save the worst of sinners. Look at the record. It extends well past 1900 years. From royalty to the cheapest hovel. From banker to a murderer's death cell. From social boudoir to social disgrace. From every nation and ethnic background at every age level. Jesus saves. The great Mayo brothers at Rochester, Minnesota did not get their fame for medical and surgical skill by setting a sprained finger or removing offending tonsils. Doctors who could do nothing for patients sent them to the Mayos. They found a way to apply the uttermost to those who appeared beyond help. Jesus is in a category by himself, sir. When society has ostracized, outlawed an individual for transgressions that spread stain and stigma, the hero of Calvary, by his mighty passion and power, has lifted that person. He reaches the trapped, the defiled, the degraded. He redeems them. One of the sweetest tributes ever given was given a night long, long ago in a Denver City Union mission. A woman stood. Her dress was grayish brown with age. Her hat was old, and wisps of hair came through. Her face was lined, aged and tired, and looking toward the superintendent, she said, "Jimmy, it is 18 years ago tonight since you led me to Christ right here in this room. You remember what I was before Jesus saved me? You need not be ashamed, Jimmy. I was a streetwalker, as common as trash, and you found me. You were patient with me. You told me about Jesus. You broke my heart with your tears. And you made me surrender, and Jesus saved me. It has been a hard grind, Jimmy, but I have stayed with the Lord, and surely he has stayed with me. When I was young, after I became a Christian, it was not so hard. I was strong and could do almost any kind of work. I nursed babies, I scrubbed floors, I laundered clothes, and I made my way pretty well. But now I'm getting old and tired, and people don't want me about much. There are days when the sun is shining and it's dry and clear and I can get something to do and earn a bit, enough to eat and rest. And before I go to sleep, I kneel and bow my head and say, 'Jesus, you've been good to me.' And then there are days when it's cold and unfriendly and no one wants any washing done. No one wants me to care for children. No one wants floors scrubbed. So I come to the end of the day without a penny. Sometimes a person shares. Sometimes I go hungry. Sometimes I sleep on a bench or a vacant building or in the cheapest flop house. But before I sleep, I lift my heart to Christ and I say, 'Jesus, I'm old and I'm tired. I'm hungry. but I love you. I can't give you much, but all that I have is yours for keeps. And that's how he saves. Second, he is able to reclaim the worst of backsliders. He reached far, far for David. Murder, lying, adultery are a putrid combination, enough to rot a soul forever. And yet the grace of God found David. He reached into the depths for Peter. Profanity, treason, cowardice are a loathsome combination, enough to sentence a man to punishment without parole. But Christ loved him too well to abandon him. And he loves every defaulter. He loves the backslider better than your denomination or my crowd do. One look brought Peter to his senses. The longing in the eyes of the Son of God brought tears to the eyes of a human being. The Good Shepherd is forever committing the 99 and seeking the erring one. He's doing it now, and he'll find that loved one. I've always loved the story of Jerry McCauley. He was a converted in Sing Sing Penitentiary. After his discharge, Jerry tried to go straight. Circumstances seemed too much, and he fell away and appeared to be worse than before his conversion. He got himself a woman by the name of Marie and lived with her in open disregard of convention. One early morning, he headed toward downtown New York. He stopped to light a cigarette, and a well-dressed gentleman whom he did not know asked, "Aren't you Jerry McCauley?" "Well, what's that to you?" answered Jerry. "I've been looking for you, Jerry. I was the one who came to Sing Sing to help you. Where have you been?" "Oh, I've been around." "You don't mean to tell me you've gone back into your old life after your marvelous experience?" "Well, a fella's got to live. And if these bulls don't leave me alone, why, I'll just do anything. I'm not going to starve." "Jerry, I'm the cashier of one of the banks in New York, and I have plenty of money. And you can have any of it, or all of it, if it will help you to go straight. The Lord needs you. You've served the devil long enough." And Jerry McCauley looked at the man. "Mister, you don't mean you would give me money to go straight?" "Yes, Jerry." And the man reached into his pocket. "How much do you want?" Jerry studied for a minute. He dropped his cigarette. Raising his right hand, he drove his clenched fist into the palm of his left hand and shouted, "Man, I'm not going to take a dollar of your money, but so help me God, I'm going straight from now on if it kills me." And he wheeled around, hastily walked back to the rooms he shared with Marie, and asked her to put on hat and coat and go with him. "Well, where are we going?" she asked. "Well, to the city hall to get married. I'm going straight. I mean every word of it." And Marie threw back her head and laughed. "That's funny. You are good enough for me just the way you are, and if I'm not good enough for you just the way I am, why, you know what you can do. But I'm not going to any city hall with you or anybody else." And Jerry pleaded and begged, but the woman was adamant. He left her. He went through torment and suffering and sacrifice. He kept straight. The Lord blessed him and raised friends for him. They helped him open a mission, helped him to win Marie to Christ and to marry her. And the Bowery Mission, famed around the world, is testimony and tribute to Jerry McCauley. Third, he's able to save from the power of sin. I need and you need those demands of hell broken in our lives. Where can I find such an ally? And the answer, sir, is at Calvary. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That is what the book says, and that is what experience proves. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. He gives power to the man who has been a drunkard to walk past bars. He gives power to the girl who has been a narcotic to move past needles and shots. He gives power to the person who has been a gambler to brush past the roulette wheel and the deck of cards. He fights for you. There hath no temptation take you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Finally, he is able to save from the consequences of sin, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe that, and I believe these words, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. My sin story is finished in Jesus. He paid it all, and I mean all. The forgiven has no need to fear. My Bible says to me that I shall not come into judgment. That is relief of relief. I no longer live with guilt. I no longer have that hunted feeling. This sweet text says he is able. His credentials are powerful. His references date back all the way to the first pages of Genesis. And I'll tell you this, you cease to be scared about dying. It is fear of judgment that brings fear of death. Have the sense of guilt canceled in your life, and you lose your fear of tomorrow. Tomorrow is as welcome as today. Jesus is big enough to keep anybody out of hell, whether on this side or the other side. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That is his intent toward you. Any salvation less than uttermost is only a well-meaning attempt. It is by him. All self-effort is failure. So accept the one who is able. I say it again, able to save to the uttermost. We have the assurance of his word and the immediate opportunity to explore its possibilities. So let's approach the long, long altar in this full assurance of faith. Make these next 10 seconds the best seconds of your life.
There's room at the cross for you.
Viola Hopper knelt with us some time ago. The station KPMW brought the long, long altar into their home, Gray Eagle, California. Brother Ward, you discerned during an invitation that in the audience was a husband with a kidney ailment, and you said, let that person reach out and claim your healing. My husband did, and was instantly healed. A mother knelt with us. Mrs. Floyd Rowe there at Shiptonburg, Pennsylvania. You stated that a good husband and father was left by wife, taking with her the children and furniture, but she would be back. Our daughter had done that, and our son-in-law, a good man, was heartbroken. He kept the empty house and waited. What you discerned took place. They're all back, and it's now a happy family. The long, long altar is not a fantasy, sir. These are moments of purpose and destiny. Simple faith is accepted. God loves you and is inclined towards you. Heavenly Father, we approach through Jesus, our High Priest, whom we confess to be the only begotten Son of God. We thank thee for designating this altar as thy meeting place with us, and we offer praise for every miracle received here and placed in thy service. Move toward so many who have known thee only by letter, or a fixed church form, or by some family background. These courageously are seeking thee in personal experience, which has already changed their lifestyles. And I pray that so many may know thee in the power of thy resurrection. Do for these what no furtherance of a world system can ever do for them. And Holy Spirit, direct all praise to Jesus, who saves us. Amen. The best feeling you ever have is in prayer. Try it for yourself. Oh, yes. The Master is with us, and he again is exercising his privilege as Lord, as sovereign. We may discern his ministry and his will at this moment. Jesus of Nazareth is touching right now the lips and mouth of one who has been suffering excruciating pain and discomfort from cold sores. There's been bleeding and infection, making it almost impossible to eat normally. Those sores will close, dry, and disappear immediately, and it will be the finger of God. This must be your witness and responsibility. It is for the furtherance of the gospel, and I join with you in thanking a living Jesus for his compassion and action towards you. We have been to the meeting. How beautifully and how powerfully it has been arranged. The work of the Holy Spirit. It foreshadows the scheduled meeting in the air, and I intend by God's grace to be with you then, as I have been with you now. Our dependence is not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. For it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.